This is Jennifer Hunt with Sandra Taylor on 24th September 2014 at her home in Lanchester, Durham. Sandra, could you just introduce yourself for me, please?
Well, I'm no longer a WRVS... I'm a WRVS member, but I don't have an appointment anymore. But I enjoy any work to do with WRVS. At the moment, I'm working in the hospital, in the welcomers. But it doesn't actually come under the WRVS umbrella, because WRVS didn't fund it. So I'm just doing it out of the goodness of my heart and enjoying it. Right?
Okay. When did you start volunteering for WRVS?
1973. I remember it well.
And where did you volunteer?
In East Sussex, that's where we lived at the time. And I worked as a kitchen maid for the Meals on Wheels, preparing the cabbage and peeling the potatoes and then scrubbing the floor when we finished.
And how did you first become involved?
It was a neighbour in Uckfield. The children were at school and she worked for WRVS and she said, would you like to come along with me? So that's how it started.
And why did you want to join WRVS?
Well, I wasn't joining WRVS then. It was just to help for the Meals on Wheels. But having met several people who said, why not join? I thought, well, that's a good idea. And it wasn't until we came up here that I actually signed a form to say, you know, to join WRVS.
And what did you know about WRVS before?
Not a lot. Not a lot. Just wartime information, really. Nothing to do with the present day activities at all. So that's all I knew.
And what is your earliest memory of WRVS?
Peeling the cabbage and scrubbing the floor. But meeting lots of very nice people.
And can you tell me about your first day with WRVS?
Yes, it was a bit intimidating because the rest of the people I worked with had been doing it for years. But they made me very welcome and I soon fell into the pattern of whatever they wanted me to do.
Can you tell me a little bit more about your role as a kitchen maid?
Yes, we used to get there about 8 o'clock in the morning and I prepared the vegetables. A lady who'd been doing it for years always prepared the meat and we cooked it and served it into tins and off it went.
When you moved to Durham, to Lanchester, how did your role in Meals on Wheels change?
Well, I was asked to go to a coffee morning by the bank manager's wife, and when I was there, somebody mentioned WRVS, and they said they were a driver, and would I like to go along as a mate? And I said, yes, of course. So that's how I started up here.
Can you tell me about a typical Meals on Wheels round?
Yes, we had to pick up the van from the council yard and then we had to go up to the kitchens of the local hospital and just load up and off we went. Mm. And it was great meeting the people who looked forward to seeing us because obviously some of them never got out of the house. So that was a nice party with the social aspect of it.
What was the name of the local hospital that you were collecting from?
It was Lanchester Hospital, in the middle of the village, which is no longer there. But that's where we collected from.
What sort of food were they preparing for you?
It was mainly mince and sometimes dumplings or a casserole steak. It wasn't sort of very... encouraging, really. It wasn't very appetising, but it was food. And for the fellas, they were delighted. The women were a bit critical of it, but the fellas loved it.
And which areas did you deliver the meals to?
In the village. The next village along was Stanley, and Also, we did a little bit in Anfield Plain, but mainly in Lanchester.
And how did you deliver the meals and keep them warm in the car?
They were in hot locks, a huge box with charcoal in the bottom. And the tins were layered on the top of this charcoal shelf. And we had the main meal in one, and the sweet in another one. Sometimes the custard was in a jug, which you hoped would keep hot throughout your run. And I think that was it. We had to take them to the people with a tea towel around them, because obviously they were so hot, and dish them out onto their plates and try to make them look attractive, because it's not easy tipping out a lunch on a plate. So, yeah.
And can you tell me about the people you delivered the meals to?
Most of them were housebound. Most of them were fellas on their own. And some of them were very chatty. Some of them were a bit miserable. You just had to go in with a smile and hope you left with a smile.
And who else did you work with, other volunteers on Meals on Wheels?
Well, I only worked with one lady who has since become a great friend of ours. And she also took me to look at the hospital, the local hospital up the road. So that was all really I worked with. It wasn't a very big WRVS community in this village, because it was only tiny.
And what other roles did you have in WRVS at this time?
Not a lot here. They asked me to be a local organiser eventually, which I did. And we'd had Books on Wheels, Meals on Wheels, old folks home trolley shops. What else did we do? Books on Wheels. So then it got a bit more lively, shall I say. No more to do, meet more people. Yeah, it's very good.
And you also opened a luncheon club.
Yeah.
As well. Where did you open the luncheon club?
Into the community centre, yes. Someone knocked on the door and said they were from County Hall and they were interested in opening a luncheon club. Would the WRVS do it? So, as I'm sure they would. So, that was the most difficult bit I've ever done. I had to knock on doors of people in the village and ask them if they'd come, if there was a luncheon club. Most of them said yes, some of them were undecided, so I left it and I said, well, I'll come back to you in a few days and see what you think. But that was the most difficult part, because I'm not very good at knocking on doors and, you know, meeting strangers, but it worked okay.
And do you remember when you opened the luncheon club?
No, I can't think of the actual date, no. No, I can't.
Was it long after you started Meals on Wheels in?
I should think about 3 or 4 years after that, yes.
And how often did you open the luncheon club?
Twice a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Can you tell me about the people who attended the club?
Yes, they were brilliant, the old dears of the village, yes. And they were good at suggesting somebody else that might benefit for the luncheon club. So that was a great help, because with being a stranger in the village, I didn't know everybody, so that was a great help. They recommended people themselves. So we got up to about 24, 25 people, which was very nice. And we had the local doctor upstairs, so that if any of them weren't feeling too good, because apparently the blood pressure lowers when they've eaten, and they can sort of, not faint, but, and I can remember going upstairs, and the doctor says, can you help me? And they came down, oh, he says, she's all right, it's because she's eaten. You know, the blood pressure's lowered. So, well, that was an interesting thing to remember. Yeah. So, yes, I think we ran for quite a few years. In fact, it's only about 4 or 5 years since it's finished. But yeah, it was a good thing.
Were you serving the same sort of food as Meals on Wheels?
Yes,
then?
Because it came same kitchens, so it was the same.
So were volunteers cooking this food or...?
No. This was the hospital kitchens. Sometimes it was a mince pie, you know, in pastry. But not very appetising. But they were grateful because, as they said, they don't have to wash up afterwards. And it was a good meeting place for everybody, particularly for people that were lonely.
Did you do anything special at Christmas or...
Oh, yes. Yes, the sherry bottle came out at Christmas and Christmas cake. And they all had a little gift, which they appreciated. Yes, it was good. I had crackers and things like that.
And did the little gift that you gave them, did that come from WRBS funds or...?
No, not really. I used to buy those.
And you were also involved with emergency services.
Yes.
How did you become involved with that?
Well, strange, like most things, there was a meeting in the village and the district organiser from Consett came along and she tried to get us interested in emergency training. And she said, would you like to do it? I said, I don't know anything about it. Oh, she said, we'll teach you, you'll be all right. And the next thing I knew, I was ordering mince and for about 50 people and cooking on the soya cooker and all the rest of it. It was good. And they knew their members from old because it was three districts in one and it was emergency services. And the organiser at Consett said, you must have so-and-so. Make sure she comes along. So I says, why is that? She's the only person that can peel onions because she has no tear ducts, so she doesn't cry. So, but it was great fun, really great fun. Everything you do in WRBS, you can have fun. Great.
And you mentioned there that you received training for emergency services. Can you describe to me what that training involved?
Well, we did a thing for nuclear war, if that... You know, that was emergency services. We did a thing for that. Not really sort of intensive training, just a guidelines, really, for what was available. But it was good. The practical things were the best. Setting up centres, looking after injured people or whatever. That was interesting. We sometimes work with St John's Ambulance for that. They provided victims with all sort of gore and supposedly bones sticking out of the legs and all sorts. It was all great fun and you learned a lot. That was the main thing. I mean, for me, not knowing anybody when we first moved here, it was great to meet other people.
And what were your duties as a emergency services volunteer?
It was mainly cooking. That was the main thing. And we went all over. We joined Durham in some of their emergency service exercises. Lord and Lady Barnard came to one and he said, which would you eat if you were eating a meal? I said, I would have that one. It's got sherry in it. So, again, we had fun. Yeah, it was good.
And with the cooking, were you cooking on soya boilers?
Soya boilers.
Trench cookers?
Both.
Both?
Yes, and you had to delegate as who was going to do what. And because it was great fun at the end cleaning them all because they were black with soot. We were covered afterwards. It was good.
Were you called out on any emergencies while being there?
No, not really. No, it was all exercises we were called out on. No real emergencies.
And how did you feel about not really being called out on those emergencies?
Well, you can't conjure up something that doesn't happen, mm-hmm. can you? So we got quite a lot of experience. We went to one of the airports where they filled an aeroplane with black smoke, supposedly mm-hmm. black smoke, and we had to learn how to get out of the plane and then look after the people that were injured or suffering from shock, that sort of thing. But never, ever a real emergency, thank goodness, in a way. But I think we'd have been ready.
And you've mentioned a couple of the exercises you went on. Were there any other sorts of exercises you attended?
I can't remember offhand. A lot of local exercises in church rooms and school rooms at weekends, with St John's Ambulance Brigade and that sort of thing. Yeah.
Is there anything about emergency services which we've not discussed that you'd like to share?
I think it's a great opportunity for the new members to develop, and you can actually, when they come through the door to volunteer, they're a bit nervous, but when you can get them involved in something like this, they make friends and they blossom. You know, it's amazing to see these women that have been in the house for years, not done anything, and it's good.
And in 1988, you then became a district organiser?
Yes.
Where was that
from? That was at Consett. You've got Consett, Stanley and Lanchester, the three districts, and then amalgamate to form the Derwentside district, yeah.
And why did you decide to take on that role?
Like most things in WRVS, we were sitting in a room and they were all discussing this new person they wanted. And the county organiser said to the present district organiser, "Well, have you got any idea who you want?" She said, "Yes, I want her." That was me. So I was in at the deep end. but I enjoyed it, yes. So I didn't actually volunteer for that. But it was good experience.
And did you have a district office for...
Yes.
Could you describe it for me?
It was cold, it was miserable. Lino on the floor, no heating. So this is a bit where I said to Peter, "What can you do about it?" Because we were having a new carpet in here. "Can you take the old carpet and fit it for us?" We did everything at the weekends. So bless him, he came up and he fitted the carpet in the office, which was a lot... It was cosy, you know, comfortable. But as you can imagine, no double glazing, and the heating didn't go on until we got there to put it on. So it was miserable, really was.
Who else worked in the office with you?
Grace Jebb, she came along and said, "I can type, would I be of any use?" Oh, I said, "Yes, please." So she came along and helped, but then she moved away, so we lost Grace. But she was very good, typing on a typewriter that was as old as the hills. It was a great shame, really. I didn't mention to somebody... that we were working on antiquated equipment, and it doesn't look very good if we're writing to the council or social services with this antiquated typewriter. So it was suggested that I got a new one, so we had to find funds for that.
Where did you find the funds for the typewriter?
Well, I don't know whether it was strictly correct, but I asked the hospital project if they would give some money towards it. And no bother, yes, because it was in their interest to have a decent typewriter with rotors and things written out in things, you know, that were first class, really, rather than a dilapidated thing. So, yes, I got them from the projects. And the same when I went to Durham as well. The projects very kindly bought us equipment, because we had nothing. Nothing. I mean, we used to handwrite reports with a sheet of, what's that paper underneath? Duplicating paper that was blue. And top copy went to whoever, and we had the copy underneath.
Yes, because your, when I looked, your narrative reports are handwritten.
Yes, it would be. Yeah, it would be.
Can you tell me about the different projects that were running in the district at the time?
Yes, there was the Old People's Homes, the trolley services, Books on Wheels, Meals on Wheels. Can't see what else. And they had a great social group as well up in Derwentside, Christmas parties and things like that, for the helpers as well as for the recipients. So I carried that on because I thought, well, you can't always say thank you to individual members, but if you get them all together and they appreciate being thanked, because they're giving up their time, so we did things like that.
How did your role as district organiser change in Derwentside?
Well, it got a little bit boring, and the county organiser said to me, "How are you doing?" I said, "Fine, but there's really not enough for me to get my teeth into." She said, "Ah, right." And then the next thing I knew, I was offered a role in Durham, which was 4 days a week, and it was good. You felt you were doing something. They weren't very happy in Derwentside because I'd left, but a friend of mine took it on, and she was marvellous. It's just like change, you see. They don't like change. So, but yes, I went into Durham and got my teeth into the projects there. It's far more interesting.
And what was your title in the Durham office?
Well, I didn't have a title to start with because I was helping out with the Meals on Wheels administration and the lunch clubs, because no one had ever been to all the luncheon clubs in Durham, so they asked me if I'd go and look round them all and see what I thought and register them, because some of them weren't registered as luncheon clubs. So I did that first of all, and then the district organiser of Durham was promoted up into the county office, so they said, would I like to run Durham district, and I said, I'll have a go. So there we are.
And when you were working in administration in the office, how did you organise Meals on Wheels?
Well, I didn't actually organise Meals on Wheels. We had a Meals on Wheels organiser for Durham, and she did a very good job. So I just let her get on with it, and she was fine. I went round with them, the driver, just to meet the recipients and have a chat and see what they did. Yeah, it was all very good.
And as an administrator, did you do things like accounts and?
Not in Durham. There was a secretary in Durham that did the accounts, so that was okay. I got on with the organising and the social aspect of it all to keep everybody together.
And was that the same for the luncheon clubs?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, going around and meeting the organisers, in because it was just, each luncheon club had an organiser, and getting them together in the office to iron out any difficulties, which they didn't seem to have before. So it was all, come and have a cup of coffee and let's have a chat, and we did things like that, brought them together.
How is volunteering at a county level different from volunteering at a district level?
District level, I think the members themselves brought along people as recruits and want to be members. The district, Durham, was a bit different because I didn't know them. I didn't live in Durham, you see. It was a bit difficult. But we just used to put posters up in the projects if they knew of anybody who would like to help, or would you like, we had a coffee morning, just bring a friend along. And 10 to 1, if they brought a friend along, you got a new recruit. So it was, well, not devious, but it was a socialising thing, and we got them in that way. Got quite a few.
How would you describe the county office that you worked in Durham?
Well, I wasn't in it for very long because I went to look after the district. But it was okay, yes, okay. Yeah, not so much down to earth with the people as the district office. You know, they're more isolated.
And where was it based in Durham?
Well, the district office was on the ground floor, and the county office was on the first floor in the old manse in Durham.
And when you took on being district organiser, why did you decide to take on that role?
It was a challenge. Yeah, new people, a warmer office. Yes, it was a challenge.
And do you remember when you became district organiser for Durham?
Yes, 1989.
And you said that you didn't live in Durham.
No.
At the time. So how did the volunteers respond to your appointment?
With reserved at first, until I went into the projects and picked up the tea towel and wiped a few pots and wiped a few floors, and they saw I was quite happy to work with them, and that seemed to do it. You know, if you want anything doing, do it yourself, and like an example. So it all went well.
And what were your responsibilities as a district organiser?
Well, recruiting members, looking after the members, because they worked in such various things like the prison canteens, which I never encountered before. Loads of luncheon clubs, meals on wheels. Yeah, it was different. Yeah.
Why do you say it was different?
Because it was me going in to projects that were already there, whereas previously I'd got them going. So it was different idea altogether. But as I said, as soon as I rolled my sleeves up, they were fine. They treat you with such caution at first. It was this new woman. So we didn't do anything too drastic to start with. Softly, softly, as they say. But it was smashing. Very good.
Can you tell me a little bit more about the different projects you ran in Durham?
Well, each project had a project organiser, and they did the basics and came to me if there was anything official that had to be done, or recruiting, things like that. I must say that the people themselves who were project leaders were so, been doing it for years, so we didn't want to sort of tread on their toes, and they were all marvellous, really were. Very hard working people, very good. Yeah. That doesn't really answer your question, does it?
Can you tell me about maybe the hospital project that they...
Yeah, the hospital project was their favourite project because they felt as though they were doing something, putting something back. So that was the most popular project. So very often we started them in the hospital project first, see how they went on, and then perhaps suggested, would you like to try something different as well as, not instead of, as well as. But yes, the hospital was the favourite. Because they like meeting the patients, you see. It was good for them. And we had ladies that arranged flowers in the hospital. So they would go around to the people in bed and say, would you like your flowers changing or whatever? So they got a one-to-one, which you don't get now, of course. So that was good. What else? I've forgotten the question.
Did once you they'd started on the hospital, did you move them on to perhaps Meals on Wheels or Books on Wheels?
Yes, Books on Wheels, yeah. Yeah. Perhaps doing that sort of once a month, whereas perhaps the hospital they'd do once a week. So he said, well, would you mind like to do just once a month and something else? And they were keen to try something else as well. So yeah, all good.
And did you start any new projects while you
were there? Projects, not really. We saved one or two that were going under. Didn't start any new ones, I don't think. Oh, yes, we did. We started the menu service in the hospitals. The hospital organiser came round. She was a volunteer organiser of the hospital and said, would we help in doing the menus? And we said, yes, we'd have a go. And the menus were put out the day before and we picked them up for the following day. The funny thing was, the poor patients couldn't remember what they'd ordered, so we suggested they had a pad and pencil and wrote down what they'd ordered so they would remember, because the nurse would just shout out, steak and kidney pie, did I order steak and kidney pie? So, yeah, that was the menu project, which was good. We don't do that anymore. Yeah, but that was what one of the first things we organised. Yeah.
And did you do the menu project on one ward or...?
It was throughout the hospital. Yeah, there's some wards we couldn't go into, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, where they would accept us, we went into the wards, yeah. Yeah.
You also mentioned when you wrote to me that you kept in touch with volunteers through things like coffee mornings.
Yeah, yes. We were in the manse next door to the Methodist chapel. And we used to hold coffee mornings in the office. Well, it was ridiculous because we couldn't get everybody in. So we asked the Methodist people if we could have the hall. And they said, yes, you can have it free of charge. So we had the hall and the kitchen. And we got everybody in then, the whole, from all the projects. And we put posters up in the projects about coffee morning. And in they came, plus the little word, bring a friend. And yeah, it was good. And of course they don't have that anymore and they miss that. It's keeping everybody together, you know, giving them something because they give us their time. So you've got to sort of acknowledge that. And it was a social events that they enjoyed. And if there's a medal presentation, of course, we had a party then. So yeah, it was good.
Were there any other social events that you held for volunteers?
No, just medals. And if people were leaving, they had a bouquet of flowers and a coffee morning or afternoon tea or whatever. Yeah, we did our best for the members, I think.
We've talked a little bit about the different projects already, but did any of those change over time?
Yes, the Books on Wheels finished. Meals on Wheels finished. It was sort of a downwards, you know...
Why did those projects finish?
Well, the council wouldn't fund the Meals on Wheels anymore. And the luncheon clubs, they vanished as well because... just one of those things. They wouldn't pay the rent, they wouldn't pay for the food. It was a shame, really.
And did any of the other services close down as well in the area?
No, I don't think it was mainly Books on Wheels. It was the services that required a van, funnily enough, you know, to go round. And the clothing store closed. That was a shame, but then again, we were sending bags and bags of stuff to the rag people. And those that we were giving out, some of the recipients were selling them, particularly baby clothes. So, you know, why are you doing it? Why are we doing this? You know, they just sold them. It was terrible. The clothing ladies were very upset. Anyway, we closed the clothing store, which was on the first floor, and that became part of the county office, which they were pleased about having another room, so it all ended quite happily. But it was sad that the clothing store finished. But it did all over. It wasn't just us.
Hmm.
And you'd be amazed at the stuff that we got. I mean, some of it was absolutely filthy. There was no way you could put it on the rack. He just put it straight in the black bag. It was terrible. There we are.
Did you start having paid staff come in at that time while you were a district organiser?
Yes, because the secretary left. She was having a baby, just a young girl. So she left, and we had advertised for a district secretary. And the county organiser upstairs said she can have a grant. We didn't call it pay, it was a grant. So Pat came along to be secretary. We're great friends to this day. We go out for lunch together. She was brilliant, and she was also very good at accounts. She used to work in a bank, which was a bonus for us because she could check things for us after we'd checked them, particularly when we had the returns to do. So she was a great find. Yeah, smashing.
And after 1992, did you start getting properly sort of salary paid staff rather than just the grant people who were receiving the grant?
I think she was the only one on a grant as far as I knew. What happened in the county office, I'm not quite sure. But I think it was changed from being a grant to a salary. That was fine. She did a great job. We didn't mind that. And people wanted to know if I was paid. I said, no, I'm not paid. I get my expenses paid, which is bus fare, because I don't drive. And they were quite happy with that. Yeah.
Were there any other changes to the whole organisation during that time?
In what way?
Well, sort of, I know, for example, during the time you were a district organiser, we were appointed a chief executive.
Yes.
And we also became a charity at that time.
Yes, yes. Yes, that was a big change for everybody. That's when the Action newspaper was good, because it gave them all the information, which was good. I got one or two snide remarks about people being paid, but as things were changing and we asking more of the volunteers to take on more responsibility, there was no other way. And I used to say, well, you've got to remember, she's getting up at home at 6 o'clock in the morning to come and get the newspapers. And she's in charge of the people in the shop. You know, we're asking a lot of these people. So a bit of friendly persuasion, that's what it took. Yeah, but they soon got used to it. I mean, now it's never mentioned. They don't come out with this, is she paid, as they did at first. And the girls developed to be good managers and responsible people, and they soon found out if things were missing off the shelves and things. You know, it was good, because we had no idea, because we had to get rid of this thought of putting money in a tin under the bed. We had to get rid of that and put everything in black and white. That took a lot of doing, and persuading them that this is how it goes from now on. They did say, do you think we're dishonest? I said, no, of course not. It's just a way of putting it all down on paper so we know exactly where we are. There was one or two interesting little things turned up, but we sorted it all out, yeah. Yes. with a bit of tact and diplomacy, a cup of coffee and a biscuit, as you do.
Before, did you have different accounts for different services? And I know somebody said to me they had people, volunteers, who were taking the money down in their handbag to the bank, a vast amount of money down to the bank in their handbag.
Yes, that's true. Yes, we did. Yes. In fact, we made little fabric bags so that it didn't look too obvious. Yes, they were doing all that. And it was worrying because they were taking quite large amounts to the bank. Yes, that was a new thing. Yeah.
And when did you finish being a district organiser?
Oh, now this is easy. I joined in Durham in 1989 and left in 1898 because Peter was retiring and he hadn't been well. So I decided that I got to spend more time here with Peter. And they all ask now, how's Peter? You know, they're very, very kind people, yeah. Mm. Yes. So it was a big wrench, actually, from getting up in the morning and going off and having a purpose, really. But I knew at the back of my mind that I hadn't got long in the district office. I could see all the signs that the district office was going to close. And I sort of put this to the secretary, you know, what did she think? She said, well, I think it's on the cards. And when I told her I was leaving, because she burst into tears and all the rest of it, and I said, well, perhaps there'll be a role for you in the office. So she actually kept the office going for a couple of years. Not as a district organiser, just as a secretary for the projects or whatever. Because we must have used reams and reams of paper, because we used to give each member their rota from the project. We used to have rota meetings. And now they just have one copy in the project. I mean, we must have used reams and reams of paper. We were perhaps earmarked as a very expensive office. Most of it was hand-delivered, but we thought it was a good way of keeping them organised, which were, to start with, because they had no idea when they were on duty or anything. So we did that for them. Yeah, it was great. Got no regrets.
And when did you go on to join the WRVS Council Trust?
I can't remember the year of that either. I finished in 1998, so it must have been 6 years before that. Well, I just had a phone call from Mary Corsar, who I'd met previously, and she said, Sandra, we're forming a WRVS council. How do you feel about coming on it and joining us? She said, me, you'd have to come down to London every so often. Oh, I said, yes, that sounds good. She said, really, would you do it? So I said, yes. I thought it'd be another opportunity to find out a bit more about WRVS and workings. And that was quite a revelation. Yeah.
And why did you agree to join the council?
Because it was another challenge, really. And to meet different people and see how it related to us on the ground and the people in the big office. Did they really know what was happening? So I was known as the grassroots member.
And what was your role on the council?
Just to be a supportive for everybody else, really. I'm just a member of the team. Yeah, and the grassroots, as I said before.
We already mentioned the organisation was changing at this time. How did you feel about those changes that were taking place?
I thought they were good, all for the best. Improved the service. Yes, I was all for it, very supportive of it all. Yeah. It had to move with the times. Mm. We were stuck, really. Yeah.
And what was Mary Corsa like to work with?
Very gentle, sweet soul, but she was very knowledgeable, and yes, she was good, very good.
And can you also tell me about the other members who are on the trust?
You could see they're all experienced business people, which of course I lacked. Background was a dental nurse, you know, doing the surgery accounts and things sort of big like this. But yes, they were very good, very supportive, and would listen. They were good, made great friends. They obviously knew before we did what was on the cards for the organisation, yes. And now looking back, I can see the path that we were going along, yes.
And any information you received during those meetings, how did you pass that on to the volunteers?
I didn't, because it was all confidential. You couldn't really tell them anything, really. Knew there were changes on the way, but you couldn't really even tell them that because they would have got very upset. You had to do things gradually, and same as the paid people. That was one step in the direction that we were going. And of course then we had to tell them about the Home Office grant. They'd got to start and fund themselves. So that was a move that we had to make, and very tactfully do it, yeah. It was a time of tact and diplomacy. Mm. Yeah. Interesting. I mean, sometimes he used to come back from the meetings, oh, but he couldn't say anything. Oh, dear.
How did you feel about having to fundraise for WRVS rather than just having that grant?
Well, I was all for it. If we could do it in a social way, which we did.
Mm-hmm.
The hospital went under, was a big change for everybody, because they then paid rent to the hospital and didn't collect the money to buy gifts for the hospital, which they all enjoyed doing. Mm. That was their way of paying back. So that was a difference for them. They didn't like being sort of just working in the hospital and not seeing anything for their work, shall I say. But they've got over that.
And did volunteers on different projects react in different ways when the changes started to come in?
Yes. The hospital was most affected. Books on Wheels, they were disappointed when that finished. Nothing we could do about that. And Meals on Wheels, you know, they felt as though it was all falling apart. But we just had to get them to do other things. And it worked out okay. I mean, the main thing we've got in the hospital now is a hospital shop. And they love it. Love working in the shop. So it's all worked out okay. They do 2 to 3 hours instead of a whole day. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good. Good atmosphere.
And did your involvement with the trust finish about the same time as when you finished being a district organiser?
Yes. It all sort of came together. I mean, I went to one meeting and I said that nobody tells us anything. And they sort of looked at me because we knew what was happening, but nothing official.
Mm.
And I said to the chief executive, I said, I can see my role just not being anymore, just not working anymore. And he smiled and said, yes. So, I mean, I'd realised then that they didn't need district organisers. So I knew it was on the cards, and I thought, well, I can't stay on because there's no role for me. And Peter was going to retire, so I thought, well, this is a golden opportunity. And he hadn't been well, so I said, look, I can't do it anymore. I've got to give some time to Peter. And that was it.
Mm-hmm.
And as I say, the members still ask me how Peter is, which is nice. So that was it, really.
And you mentioned there the chief executive. Was that Jerry Burton.
Yes, smashing chap. Yeah.
Did you see him at trustee meetings?
Yes. Yes, he was there every meeting. Yeah. Yes.
And then you took on a role at the hospital?
Yes.
As a welcomer?
That's right. Yes.
Was that part of WRVS?
No. They wouldn't fund it. I started it off with one of the hospital staff. We went to Blackpool and saw their welcomers project. And she said, what do you think? Oh, I said, they'd be great. So she said, do you think some of the WRVS members would help out? I said, yes, I'm sure they will. So WRVS members helped out. But then there was no funding for it. Not until, was it recently, they funded bus fares. But they didn't fund anything else. So there we are. So I don't think I'm down as a WRVS member, because I once rang head office in Cardiff, I think it was, and said I don't get a WRVS newsletter anymore. He says, well, you're not on the list. I said, I'm on the list if you want money. I said it in a joking voice. And I thought, well, that's sad. And then I joined the association, and that was brilliant. I was the youngest there, but that's how it goes. And that's just finished, which was a great shame. But the old WRVS association members, we still get together for a cup of coffee in Newcastle every 2 months. So you see, you make friends and you never lose them. It's great, yeah.
Do you remember when you first joined the association?
Yes, again, it was someone that I'd met. She wasn't on the council, but she was in charge of the wills. If you leave some money to WRVS, she did that, Margaret Painting.
Mm-hmm.
And she put me in touch with the WRVS Association, and so did another woman from the council. So along I went, and smashing. It was good. And you're all on the same wavelength, of course. It's totally obvious. I don't know what wavelength it is, but it seemed to be one of the same. So that was most enjoyable. I'll still go. Yeah, Newcastle.
How did you feel when they officially closed the association?
I thought it was sad. So sad. And the last newsletter was very sad. Yeah, great shame. But then again, you see, the young ones wouldn't come and join the association. Great shame. I just think they thought it was full of old women and they'd had enough of old women.
And also, recently we had our 75th anniversary.
Yes.
How did you celebrate that?
Well, we got an invitation to go to St Paul, so we went. I don't think the project celebrated 75 years in any way.
No, I don't think they did.
No, they didn't. Well, we would have done if I'd have been there. We'd have had a party. But we went along. It was a super day. Peter went along as well, because I felt he ought to go. I rang them up and said, could Peter come? Because without Peter, I wouldn't have been able to do the WRVS work. He was a great support. So, yes, he came along as well. Had a marvellous time. Great experience.
Mm.
Were you there?
No.
No. Patricia Routledge was absolutely fantastic. She really was. Yes. The sad thing is, I didn't know till we arrived home, but one of our members went, somebody off the project, and her husband died that night, and he went with her to St Paul's. Terrible shock for her. Yes, it was a marvellous occasion. Met some old friends, met Jerry, he was there. Come all the way from France, and was going back the next day. Marvellous. people are very supportive of the RVS, I should say, aren't they?
Mm.
I see that was discussed many years ago about changing it, getting out of the women and putting RVS. I don't think we were brave enough to do it at the time, but that was discussed years ago. But just hope it works. Get some fellas in.
What did you think when you heard about that?
Well, initially sad, but then think, well, it's sensible. Because we've got fellas in who would do the books for us, would drive for us, although we don't have so many driven projects now. But they're a great asset, fellas, and it gives them something to do when they retire, and the wives will bring them along and get them to do something, I'm sure. Yeah, good move. I don't know whether it'll filter through as a good move. Have you had any mixed reviews, really? Yeah. You have to think ahead, it's not easy to do. Yeah.
Is there anything we didn't talk about today that you'd like to add?
I don't think so. I mean, if you wanted to know all that I did, you'd be here forever. No, I don't think so. I think we've covered it. And I wish them all the success in the future. And I'm sure it will carry on. Because there is the worry that, you know, at some point it might fold, but I don't think it will.
In your opinion, what was the biggest change you experienced as a WRVS volunteer?
I suppose changing from a volunteer to administration, I suppose. And then going on the council, that was a real wake-up call. Really was. Learned an awful lot from that. Yeah, very good. So I wouldn't have changed that. I know at some point I used to think to myself, what have I got myself into, you know, with this, the council, because they were all talking up here and I was down here as a district organiser. And then I got over that, but that was the biggest thing I think I had to face.
And where do you think Royal Voluntary Service's place in society is today?
It's there, isn't it? But not. They're not shouting, here we are, we can do this. But they are, as always, the reliable force that get on with it. Yeah.
Do you think that's the future as well for Royal Voluntary Service?
Yeah, basic, just get on with it, yes. I mean, the general public will see us in hospitals. The ladies that go round with the newspapers and the trolleys. I think there's a future. I hope so.
What is your most memorable moment of your time with WRVS?
Well, this sounds awful. It was the time I left Durham District and I just sobbed, and they presented me with some lovely cut glass vases and things which I didn't taste. So I just cried and cried and cried. I didn't realise how they felt about me in the office, because you just get on with it, you see. But that was a day I shall never forget. People kept coming in with flowers and all that. Oh, it was such a shock, really. That's one of those things.
Well, thank you for talking to me today, Sandra. And this will make a very good contribution to our Voices of Volunteering project.